play two short numbers. See if you can guess what they are. Welcome this morning, especially welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you're with us, and we hope that this will be a very meaningful worship for all of you. It's good to see some, I wouldn't say old faces, but some faces I recognize and some I haven't seen before, so it's good to see you all. There are some announcements in your bulletin, but I think somebody would like to make a special announcement about something that's coming up. She's so shy, but she'll get up and do it, right? Well, that wasn't you.
It wasn't me, no, I'm just speaking out.
Aha!
I guess Ginger isn't
sure.
Here, so I'm not shy. The ladies will be working again Tuesday on the crafts. And you know the song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Our spark was Ginger, and she's gotten everybody so excited about it.
Well, good.
And we still have sign-up sheets in here. We're still selling the tickets for the lunch that you can outreach to people in the community. And I encourage everybody to come on your way home or out today. Go downstairs and look at the park bench that we have that we're going to sign an auction. It's beautiful. So just just on your way out, take a circle down the stairs this morning.
Okay, very good. And for those who are new in here, coffee is served in this room. So before you escape and don't get any coffee, make sure you come in here for coffee. Are there any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, by that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. But grace, by grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Amen. In number 842, O Worship the King.
Thank you.
We're doing something wrong here.
Uh-oh.
We can't have that. This particular service is called the jazz service. And I picked it. This week in Roswell, if I was there, I'm on the jazz festival committee. And we would be jazzing it up. Now, this music, some of you have caught it. There is a swing to it. There's a sway to it. There's some movement to it. We're praising God, remember? Let's give God the best. So let's do that that refrain twice again. Okay? See if we can get a little oomph in it. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading today is Isaiah 53, 4 through 12. This reading is from the last of four passages of Isaiah that are often called servant songs. Christians are probably most familiar with this servant song. In light of Christian faith, the servant's healing ministry and redemptive suffering are understood to be fulfilled in the life and death of Christ. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offering and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 91 responsively today. You have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation.
No evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling.
For the Lord will give angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways.
Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent.
I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name.
They will call me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them.
With all my life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation.
The second reading today is Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. Using imagery from Scripture and from Jewish worship practices, Jesus is presented as the great high priest who was obedient to God's saving plan. Through his suffering and death, he has become the source of eternal salvation. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. According to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we'd like for you to do what we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant that one of us may sit on your right hand and the other on your left hand when you come into glory." Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" They said, "Yes, we can do that." Jesus said, "You will drink the cup that I have drunk, or I will drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not me to grant, but is for the one for whom it has been chosen." Now, when the other 10 heard what these two had asked, they were angry. So Jesus called them all together and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those they recognize as their rulers lord it over them. And those who are great among them are tyrants over them. But it shall not be so among you.
those who want to be great among you must be the servants of all. And those who want to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, how are you guys doing? Good, good. You did a good job of lighting the candles. And didn't even start the place on fire. That's fantastic. That's always good. Hey, you know what this is, right? It is a dollar bill. Now, there's a little trick here. Maybe you can see this. If you turn this way, you see his frown? But if you turn it this way, what's he doing? Smiling. So it all depends upon how you look. Can you see that? There's a frown there. And if you look it up this way, it's a smile. But, you know, sometimes it looks like it's really great to be on top. But it's not always good to be at the top. Sometimes it's better to be at the bottom. And Jesus tells James and John that, okay, you want to be big and great and have the first place? Well, then you're going to have to suffer. It's not always good to be at the top. Sometimes it's better to be on the bottom. So Jesus gives us the opportunity to serve. Do you guys do any serving?
Yeah.
Do you?
Go to church.
Go to church? Okay. Do you ever help with the shoe boxes? Yeah, do you? Are you going to help with the Christmas thing?
I don't know.
You don't know? Maybe you could help serve tables or something like that? There are always ways that we can serve and help others. And so maybe we could look at George Washington here when he frowns, frowning at those people who never do any serving, but when he turns it up this way, he says, "Ah!" And maybe that's Jesus smiling at us too. Shall we say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, for calling us to be your servants. Bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had a friend who needed to have his car fixed, and he had seen in this town that he passed through a sign that said Automotive Mechanics. And then it had under it, Dexter Arnold, proprietor. And he decided he had had mechanics work on his car before and they didn't do a whole lot of good for it. So this time he was going to go right to the top. So when he walked in, this mechanic came to meet him. He had on greasy overalls, his hands were greasy, and he was wiping his hands on another greasy rag. It had been obvious, he had streaks of grease on his cheeks. It was obvious that he had been down there in the pits working like everybody else. And so my friend said, I'd like to speak with Mr. Arnold. The guy smiled and said, "That's me." He may have been the owner and the proprietor of that, but he was also right down there in the pits with the rest of them doing the hard stuff, which is what you and I are sometimes called to do. And sometimes it would seem like we'd rather be at the top. One of the people that I really admire was Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer, I don't know if you know his story, but Schweitzer had degrees from three different universities. He had a degree from a university in Strasbourg, from Berlin, and another one in Paris. He was a theologian. He was an ordained Lutheran pastor. He had written several books. On top of that, he was an incredible organist, much in demand for concerts. He had also composed a number of organ pieces that were really really great. And at one point he was teaching as a professor at the university, Mont Blanc University in Strasbourg. And while he was there, he became aware of the colonialism, the European colonialism in Africa. And his heart began to ring for the people down there who were so downtrodden. And he found that they needed medical help down there a great deal, or over there. And so he went back and got another degree in medicine so that he could go into Africa and serve in the sweaty, hot jungles of Africa, helping the people who really needed. Schweitzer is an example of one who pinned his ideas of what was good servanthood on his master, Jesus Christ. He also looked to the suffering servant in Isaiah and realized that Jesus fit all of that in every way. That we are called upon to be the servants of Christ, just as he came into our world, emptied himself, and became obedient, as Paul tells us in Philippians, even becoming a slave and giving his life in sacrifice for us. In our gospel today, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to Jesus with a request. Now, it might be helpful to understand where they've come from. In the Gospel of Mark, they were with Jesus when he heard that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had been beheaded. That's the beginning of Jesus' real reaching out in ministry. They were with him when he fed 4,000 people. They were with him when he healed the sick and the lame, and when he cast out demons. They had seen all of this. Jesus had taken them, along with Peter, up on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured before them. And they saw Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, and Moses, the greatest of the lawgivers, with him, talking to him. And they heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." They've heard this. It's in their minds. They know this. Jesus brings them down to the mountain. There's some more preaching and teaching and healing goes on. And Jesus takes them then to Caesarea Philippi. We had that lesson not that long ago. Now, in Caesarea Philippi, there are these, even today, there are still the niches where they used to have all of these gods. There were hundreds of gods represented at Caesarea Philippi. Everything from the goat god Pan to the frog god, I don't know what his name was, and everything in between. People gods, animal gods, all of these were worshipped there. And right nearby is what was referred to at that time as the gates of hell. It's at this place where Jesus asks that big question. He pops the question and asks them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" This is not just another rabbi. They know that this is the Messiah. Now, if that isn't enough, Jesus tells them three times before this passage that he is going to suffer and die and on the third day rise again. Another little thing to put in their memory. So, being good Americans like they were not, they're thinkers, they realize what's going on, and they think, "Huh, you know, we could make it here. Let's get Jesus to appoint us to his new regimen." Because in their minds, they are still thinking of the Messiah as coming on a white stallion with a sword to cast out all their enemies and to rule the world. and they want the positions of power. But Jesus tells them, you don't really know what you're asking for. You want to be my servant? You must be a servant. That's where the real power is. In not only being the servant, being the slave of all. If you want to be at the top, that's where we have to be. And it's a message for all of us as Christians and as a church, that we're not going to be the largest church in the world. We're not going to be the most powerful people in the world. But if we are Christ's servants, we will live under His power. And what we need to do is to commit all that we are, all that we have, in service to Him. Just by chance, I found a song that fits. And if you catch on to the tune, please join me. Because this is a song, being all that I crave, all that I'll ever make, I give to you today. Take and sanctify these gifts for your honor, Lord, knowing that I love and serve. Servants of the servant Lord, the one who gave himself unselfishly for us, asking us to do the same for him. It always looks better at the top, doesn't it? The man who owned a great manufacturing company had a son. He started out in the business at the bottom, in the mailroom. And then over the period of time, moved him up into the various offices. But no matter where the son was always unhappy. He complained because he knew how to run that company. And if he were president of that company, he'd make some real changes. Well, after a couple of years, his father had a heart attack and had to back away. And the son had to take over. And all at once he discovered that now instead of an 8-hour day, he was putting in 18-hour days. And instead of being able to call all the shots and make all the changes he wanted to make, he had to complaints piled up on his desk. And after a few days of that, he said, I can't wait for my father to get back so I can learn how to help him run this company. And maybe that's you and me in our life as we walk with Christ, that we need to learn how to walk with Christ and to help him build his church. Because he doesn't ask us to do it alone. In fact, you know what? He even gives us permission. And, in fact, invites us to go right to the top. You don't have to pray to me or to one of the saints. You and I can go right to the throne of grace with all of our hopes, our dreams, our prayers. That's what God calls us to do. to go right to the top, because that's where the true answers are. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy One, open lines of communication within your church, enabling us to listen to each person's voice, and to lift up each person's unique gifts for your sake. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Fill creation from mountain peaks to the deepest valleys with your invigorating spirit. Give strength and provision to animals that prepare for colder weather. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your spirit of humility to those who hold authority. Direct political leaders to live in service to their citizens. And turn our eyes and our hearts toward our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guard and protect the ones who call to you out of despair, illness, or injury, especially those we name in our hearts. Deliver them from their struggles into havens where they can find healing and faithful companionship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Bear the pain of people who are denied justice, especially when it results in violence or death. Bring your peaceful rule into the world for the sake of those who are oppressed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Prepare a seat for all the saints in your holy realm. Bring us all into a righteous reality where honor is given to the lowly and where we will share in life that you give. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Enfold all things in your compassion, O Lord, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all you who have shared this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with all you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
We stand as you are able. The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.